There are so many different healing practices that exist in the world, and while we will explore them individually more in depth in later episodes, I wanted to speak with Dr. Terry Werner about the field of integrative therapies and practices as a whole. Welcome to the Take 5 for Your Health and Well-Being podcast. I'm your host, Jacques LaRouge. Dr. Werner is the Director of Integrative Service for Fairview, and she has experience in a variety of settings, most recently in overseeing integrative health programs in ambulatory and acute care settings. Dr. Werner has additional training and interest in the areas of mindfulness, meditation, healing touch, Reiki, and Ayurveda. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, this is obviously a very broad field, but how would you define holistic integrative healing practices?
I would define these practices as things that you don't typically find in our biomedical, allopathic medical system, but more outside of the system or maybe alongside the system. They're not typically covered by insurance and not always recognized by medical professionals.
In my research on the topic, I've come across so many words. I've heard integrative, complementary, alternative, holistic. How have these different words been used to describe the field, and how have they changed as the public grew more aware of this field?
Really, it's the public awareness and the public's use of these therapies that have evolved the language surrounding integrative care. And really, it started mostly with alternative. In the 80s, a lot of people used the word alternative medicine to describe things that they used separately from their medical practice. They didn't typically talk to their doctor about it or share it even with people that they knew, and was really seen as something that they did outside of their medical care. So it was something kind of instead of, which is really what alternative means, right? In the early 90s, we started to talk more about complementary, and that's because people were starting to use things in complement with their medical care that they received. They were more willing to talk to their physicians, mostly because physicians might be a little more open to hearing about it. Then we started to use integrative, which I really prefer because what it means is that you're using both things simultaneously when they're appropriate. And so you're choosing kind of the best of both worlds to really meet your medical needs the best way that you can.
So can you provide some examples of what would be included in this integrative healing practices?
Sure. I think the most widely used integrative practice is using nutraceuticals, supplements, vitamins, things, herbs, things that people use to improve their health or to prevent disease. There are also things like breathwork and meditation, mindfulness, mindfulness-based stress reduction, yoga, tai chi, qigong. And then there are things like acupuncture, chiropractic, and massage that are, you know, very recently they were considered alternative and complementary therapies. And I think more and more they're becoming more mainstream. They might be offered in a physician's office at a primary care clinic and are sometimes covered by insurance and are more recognized, and people feel pretty comfortable talking to their practitioner about those things.
Could you speak on the challenges that go into research on integrative therapies and practices?
The challenge is that unlike researching medications where you can use a randomized control trial with thousands of patients and do exactly the same thing to every single patient, when we're talking about integrative therapies, often these are provided for patients or clients in a very individualized way. And so if you make the service exactly the same for many, many people, you're taking away from the medicine that that practitioner uses by deciding what's the right choice for this person. So we have to look at those results differently as well and look at more practice type evidence. What is happening with each individual person and looking more on a case-by-case basis, coupling that with the research that we are able to obtain for these different therapies. The National Institutes of Health has actually set aside a large amount of money. They have a whole division that's really geared toward doing research on integrative therapies and bringing that information to patients so that they can find the right practitioner, the right treatment for them, and safely make decisions for their health.
How did you first encounter holistic practices in your life? What was it like?
So I remember when I was very young, 6 or 7 years old, I had strep throat like 3 or 4 times a year. And I remember going to a healer in the next town over. I grew up in a small town in northern Minnesota. And I remember being in that room with dozens of other people waiting to be seen by this man. And he only took donations. And I don't really know exactly what it was that he was doing. But my sense is that it was some kind of energy-based healing. And I don't, like I said, I don't really know what it was he called. But he really did help me and a lot of other people. So that's kind of a interesting reflection that I had. And I also, my mom and I both saw a chiropractor pretty much through my whole childhood. It was pretty normal to see a chiropractor in town, and he was a very standard, you know, chiropractor, did adjustments and heat therapy and things like that. And so because of my childhood, I was always really open to looking for natural ways to keep myself well, and started using things like acupuncture and acupressure and looking for ways to really just enhance my health and be able to prevent illness is really kind of what I've always thought was the important thing, is to just stay healthy.
How did you and your guardian come to the decision that you needed an integrative, holistic healing solution? Why did you think conventional healthcare was not the solution with your case of strep throat?
So I actually still continue to go to the doctor and receive antibiotics. And I think the reason that my mom decided that we should try it, first of all, is because she knew other people that had and thought, I think it just couldn't hurt, right? So I would see him as well as my doctor, who would prescribe penicillin, and you know, I'd stay home and do my my normal, you know, hot lemon water with honey, and you know, all of the things that my grandmother would do for me when I was sick. But I would also seek traditional medical care as well. As I got older and had spent a few years as a nurse, I started to see that a lot of what we try to do for people is suppressing symptoms and stopping, you know, stopping fevers and stopping pain, which is all great, but all of those things are there to send send us messages from our body. So if you feel pain, it's your body trying to tell you there's something wrong. You need to, you know, do something about this. Or when you have a fever, it's your body trying to fight that infection. And so if we're always spending all of our time suppressing, we're not giving our body the natural ability to do what it does best, which is to you know, reach that state of homeostasis and find that place of wellness.
So How would a listener go about learning more and finding the holistic integrative practice that works for them?
So I think it's going to be different for each person, depending on what it is they're looking for. And to understand that not all of these practices require somebody be licensed by the state of Minnesota, for example. And so I think the first thing that people should do, even if it is a practitioner that's licensed, is ask their friends and family, ask their physician, ask people that they know if they have recommendations, because that's a great way of finding out if this is somebody who might be a good fit for you. The next thing I would do is look to see what kind of requirements this practitioner type has. And if it is a licensed person, you can go on to their website and look to see what that license requirement is for that practitioner type, and even see if that person is licensed. And then once you find a person that looks like they might be a good fit for you, you can ask them for references or people that you can talk to about their practice to get a little more feedback about that person. If it's a practitioner type that isn't a licensed practitioner type, it's going to require a little bit more homework on your part. Really looking at, sometimes it's just as simple as Yelp reviews. But it's like, for instance, in massage, there is a national certification. So they have to go through a certain amount of hours of training, and then they pass an exam, and then they can, then they're certified in the U.S. But when you look at, there's no state licensure for massage. So that's usually falls on the city, and then the city has different requirements. So it can get really complicated. In St. Paul, for instance, they need to complete that national certification exam. So you know that's been taken care of. They need to have continuing education, and they need to be insured. And so if you went to somebody in that was practicing in St. Paul, you would know that all of those requirements were met.
So obviously, this field is so expansive. You've given me tons of examples of different practices, but what's the uniting factor? What makes up the integrative healthcare field? Because we have traditional healing practices like Ayurveda or Reiki, and then we also have, as you said, nutrient supplements. So where do you see the similarities across the field?
So I think there are a lot of similarities, particularly when you look at some of the older medicines, the indigenous healing, that people just during that time out of necessity were living closer to nature and were paying more attention to how their body responded to different things. They were living in cycles of the day, cycles of the year, and really just kind of following nature's lead on how to best live to keep yourself well. And I feel like a lot of these therapies, even the ones that aren't, you know, indigenous traditional healing methods, are really about how to let your body be healthy rather than trying to alter it into being healthy. And what I mean by that is, you know, our biomedical model is fantastic for, you know, dealing with emergencies or, you know, heart blockages, accidents. We're really great at taking care of those people. But when it comes to chronic disease, we kind of wait until people are sick, and then we give them medications, or we perform surgery in order to alter their body. And with medications, we're often giving things to suppress symptoms, as I said earlier. And that is kind of working in opposition to what all of these integrative therapies do. They're much more about just trying to keep the body within a state of homeostasis, a state of well-being.
Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure having this conversation with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Minnesota's Earl E. Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing. I've been your host, Jacques LaRouge, a student communications assistant here at the center. Visit takingcharge.csh.umn.edu for more information on a variety of health and well-being topics. On Taking Charge, you can create goals, take short self-assessments, and explore many articles, tips, and videos from well-being experts.